agriculture, right? So here's the funny thing. You know, we passed the offering plate. By the way, where's Mark? And guys, who took the offering today? Anybody took the offering? Raise your hand. Who was part of that today? All right. Did anybody put a chicken in there? No, right? They didn't do that, right? Because we at the church, right, don't have the ability to sort of take that chicken and easily use that to go take it over and pay the PSE&G bill. Do you understand? That's why money is this means of exchange. It simplifies life, right? It makes it easy for us to transact and get what we need in exchange for what someone else needs. It puts everything on a level playing field. It's okay. By the way, praise God. Grace, that's how we all feel about money, isn't it, sometimes? So here it is, right? Money, it's not ours permanently. By the way, get that in our mind. It's not ours permanently. It's not our God. It's not our purpose. It's not our happiness. It's not our security. And it's not our identity. It's none of those things. But you know what? A lot of times, it tries to become that, doesn't it? If we don't watch what we do. And here's the deal. Here's why. The total corruption of sin and its effects on our world, our flesh, and the influence of the devil create these sinful and destructive myths and lies that we believe sometimes for our entire life. And that's, by the way, Rosemary picked that song, Order My Steps by Your Word. It's critical. Because if I order my steps by my thoughts, I'm often misled and misdirected and do the wrong thing. So I got to order my steps the way God says it, right? So here's a couple things I want to think about. These myths or lies begin to define us, and instead of living in truth, we live lies as practical atheists. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. You know what we do a lot of times? We say one thing, and we amen it in church every Sunday, and we go to work Monday to Friday and live a totally different way. The people wouldn't believe that you were in church Sunday by the way we live Monday and the rest of the week, right? And I'm talking about that not just in terms of like gross sin. I'm talking about that in the way we handle money. You know, we put everything into getting more and more and more and more. And by the way, can anybody use a little more? Don't be shy. You're in church. It's okay. I'm going to raise my hand. I could use a little more. You know, I went to the grocery store, right? Yeah, I could use a little more. I wish you did put a chicken in the offering plate because I would take it home. You know, so, you know, we all understand that that's how money really is, right? So take us down, if you would, please. And first thing I want to deal with, here's a myth, right? So here's the first one. The money is mine because I earned it. Anybody ever say that? Have y'all thought that? Amen, yeah. It's okay, by the way, because God's word convicts all of us, preacher included. You know, you get that money, it's like, I got it. Sometimes in our house, and I'll tease my wife, you know, in my old job, we used to get these bonuses, you know, in corporate America, and we would then earmark that bonus. Oh, we're going to use that to pay for this, and 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 pay for this. So we use the bonus like 7 times, right? But it doesn't really work that way. But, you know, the money, here's the issue, right? The money is it is yours. You may have earned it with your work, but it came from God. That's really the issue, right? And how, I want you guys to get a hold of this, these couple of verses. I'm going to give you a million verses, but these are great ones. James 1, 16 to 18 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And by the way, that's all of us, preachers included, right? Don't be deceived. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God doesn't change. And everything you got came from him. And I'll throw this out. You might say, well, Pastor Gary, you know how much overtime I worked this week? And here's the deal. I don't know, but you may have worked a lot. But guess what? Who gave you the ability, the strength, and the health to drag your carcass out of bed, to stay there and do all that you did and bring you home safe every night and even bring you to church this morning? And you're so tired from all that overtime. Right? Who did that? God did that, right? So it really isn't yours, and it really isn't mine. It's really his, and he passed it on to us to live life. Right? And Psalm 24:1 said this, right? It says, the earth is the Lord's, and what's that next word? Say it. I can't hear that one. All its fullness, right? So God's got everything in the world. It's all his. It's all owned to us. By the way, even our children are his. When they're bad, we're saying, God, they're yours. You know? And when they're good, they're ours. But they're all really God's, right? It says, and it says, he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. By the way, that is the slogan for the island of Grand Cayman. Anybody heard that? He's established it upon the waters, which is kind of cool, kind of neat. Very picturesque way to say that, right? So we're going to skip on down. How about this passage? It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness. And I'm everybody look up for this for a second. Here's the idea of that. You know what he's saying? I'm the Lord, and part of my loving kindness is, by the way, that word is a Hebrew word, H-E-S-E-D. He said in Isaiah, part of God's loving kindness is his loyal love. And in God's loyal love to us, he gives us gifts that we need. Right? It's all God's. And he says, I'm exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And by the way, check out what it says about God. You know, we're saying praises to God. The scripture, praise God, says, for in these I delight, says the Lord. You get a hold of that for a second. It's all God's, but God delights in giving it to us when we praise him back. When we recognize it all came from you, God, it's not just mine. God is delighted. He is just feeling worshiped and praised when we realize it all comes from him. And that's an awesome thing. And take us down, please, my dear, if you will. How about this thought? Ecclesiastes. By the way, anybody know who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Right? Solomon, right? He's the wisest man that ever walked earth except Jesus, and Jesus was fully God and fully man. Wisest guy, right? Let me rephrase that. Wisest man. Because I say wisest guy, you know, we know where our minds go, right? He's not just a wise guy. He's an incredible man of wisdom. But look what he wrote here in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, I know that nothing is better for men, or them, he says, than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And what do we get from our labor? We get money. You know, we kind of get some kudos sometimes, pats on the back and other things, promotions. But he says, it is the gift of God. He says, and I know that whatever God does, it'll be forever. Nothing shall be added to it, nothing taken away. God does it that men should fear before him. So I just want to establish to us, guess what? I want everybody to look up with me and say it with me. Whose money is it? That was kind of weak. Whose money is it? It's God's, right? It's God's. Because even if you worked hard to get it, God gave you that ability, that health, that knowledge, that understanding, that presence of mind to do it, right? So it's all God's, and it's a gift from God. And by the way, I throw this out to you guys. Should we hold on to our money like this, you know? I'm a white guy, so I could say with a white knuckle grip. You know what that means, right? It means I'm holding on so tight that like it's cutting off the blood in my hands, right? You know, that's not what he's saying. Right? He's saying, use that money, enjoy that money. And you guys know, by the way, anybody know any rich people? Sometimes they are the most miserable tightwads that you ever saw. And the people that got nothing, they're just shelling it out. Go ahead. I don't got anything anyway. Just take it. You know, right? You know, that's what we're talking about. It's a gift from God. So please, 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 enjoy the blessing of the hand of God. Enjoy it, right? But realize this, right? God's gift can give us temporal happiness, But I didn't say temporary. I said temporal means kind of while we're on earth, right? Gives us that happiness. It gives us security, and it gives us power to use it for our enjoyment, the blessing of others, and the glorifying of God. Right? It's His. He sends it down the pipeline. Our job isn't to be the bucket at the end that holds on to it and runs with the bucket. Our job is to keep it going out where it needs to go. Right? So that's the first one. So first myth we've debunked is, it's mine. No, it's really God's, but praise God. God's so gracious and generous, He gives it to us. Right? So take us down, my dear, please, if you would. How about this one? Money brings happiness. And you hear people say it. You know, the people say, well, you know, it's Christian. I don't play the lottery, but I should. You know, and I got so many problems, and if I, you know, I guess if I have more money, and people say, you know, I'd like to try it and see what it'd be like with more money, right? But here's the deal. Money brings happiness. It will satisfy me. It's kind of a myth. And I want to share with you, it says, 1 Timothy, by the way, is the book in Scripture that kind of addresses this issue. And by the way, this is another great chapter in Scripture about money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, most of the chapter, right? But look what he says. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Everybody look up for a sec. I have not seen... And by the way, I've done over 100 funerals. Someone was talking to me last night. We did a wedding for the Boyer family. You know, Wesley got married. It was a wonderful, awesome time. And someone was saying, boy, you must have done 100 weddings. And I said, no, I've done 100 funerals. And, you know, I've done about, you know, less than 20 weddings probably, right? But here's the deal. In all those funerals, I have never, ever seen the deceased member bring the U-Haul truck. I have never seen the deceased member, you know, have an entourage of tractor trailers behind the hearse. I've never seen that, and I don't think you have either. But this idea that we have is that, you know, we just got to get all the money because money is going to satisfy me. It's going to be what I need. He says, no, godliness with contentment is great gain because we brought nothing in this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. And he says this word, he says, in having food and clothing with these, we ought to be content. And we're going to talk about contentment next month in a different message series. But he says, but those who desire to be rich, and check this out, the opposite of happiness. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And I want you guys to stop and think about that for a second. If all you focus on and think about is gaining more money and how you're going to do it, is that life going to be joyful? And some of us, we've tried it. Probably all of us have tried it some, and we found out that it wasn't the journey or the trip we thought it was, right? But he says it just causes us, right, our thinking gets so bent out of shape that it causes us to chase these harmful lusts. And by when you see the word lust, we always think of sex, right? He's not talking about that. Lust is a desire. It can be sex, by the way. But lust is a desire for something that you don't have. And it's crossed over the line of being good for you and godly in its way, in its demeanor, right? That's what he's saying. He says, it just causes us to chase these things that at the end of the day don't really bring any real satisfaction or happiness. And that's kind of the problem. And he says this, he says, and y'all know this verse, right? For the love of money, and by the way, money is not the root of all evil. That's a myth, that's a quick myth we'll debunk. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of it is. And this love is, you know, this love is like this insatiable type of love, right? The love of money is the root of all evil. He says all kinds of evil. I thought the translator wrote it. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So Scripture kind of says that, and I'll throw this out. If you've chased money as sort of the end-all, be-all, it's kind of a chase that never ends. It's kind of a cup you never fill up. You know, it's a bank account that the balance is never big enough, right? And that's what he's trying to get across to us here. And, you know, take us down, please, if you would. Yeah, thanks so much. And again, I'll go back to Solomon. He says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. And then he says, this also is vanity. You know, it's fleeting, it doesn't last, it's meaningless. It's kind of the way we translate that. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. Let that rest in your mind for a second. I'll share a story. At one point, I think it was during the pandemic, right? We had everybody back in our house. We had an empty nest for like about a minute. And then we had an overfull nest. And as a result, we had all these cars. It was like I had a used car lot on Longwood Drive. Because we had, you know, Dan had a car for college. Phil was home. They were sharing a car. Sarah had a car. Brendan came. He had a car. We have two cars, one for me and Jane. We had more cars than we know what to do with, right? And I'll share just how this increase happens. And even when our kids, we kind of grew up, and, you know, Jane's dad, when he passed, we inherited his car. So everyone drove this Chevy Lumina tank, you know, our kids, which was good because they didn't know how to drive. They thought they did. They didn't know how to drive. They hit stuff. They scratched it up. But it was a tank. And that's the kind of car you want for your kids, right? But guess what? Even the car that's the tank, when I went, we always take our car, there's no advertisement, Morgan Tire. I take it there because I can drop it off in the morning and walk home. It's really close to my house. I felt like a stockholder. Like, you know, if it wasn't this car that had a problem or needed an oil change, it was the next car. If it wasn't that car, it was the third car. You know, and then Sarah's calling me, Dad, can you take me to Morgan? Something's wrong with my car. You know, it's like endless, right? This circle of things. And what he's trying to say is, if my value is money and just trying to amass it, pretty soon the needs that you have because you have more stuff just consumes all the money. When I walk in work and they say, hey, Mr. Tom Seaton, how you doing? They're nice people. I like them. I don't want them to know me that good. You know, but isn't that life? That's life. The more we get, the more we got to maintain, the more we got to get more money to maintain more. You see this on a menu once in a while. More costs more. Right? You know, can I get the rainbow Jimmies on top? Yeah, you can. 75 cents more. You know, that's how it works, right? So more is never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. Please take us down, my dear. Appreciate that. And look what the next idea. So we get the idea, by the way. We just kind of step back 1 second. So it's not ours, right? It's not ours. And get this in our mind, right? Money does not guarantee happiness. And some of you guys are thinking, I'd like to give it a shot, though. Right? It doesn't, right? It doesn't. It's kind of fun, but it's fleeting, right? So here's the next one. Money makes me secure. It gives me power. And look again, Timothy, right in that same passage, 1 Timothy 6, right? Good passage about money, right? It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. We don't use that word. So that means not to be proud, cocky, like I got this. You know how we do that sometimes, right? Nor to trust in, and get that word, read it for me, uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. Everybody look up. I want to kind of make this point. And by the way, let me say this. I was an accountant. I got paid because of money. I still use that skill a lot at church, right, with our finances and everything, which we'll talk about more next time, too. But guess what? Money, storing it up on this earth, is not the best answer. Storing up the value that money can provide in eternity is the target. And I'm not against financial planning. I'm pro-financial planning. And we're going to talk about that next time too. By the way, when we start out with money, the first thing we got to do is pray and then plan. Because the stuff's going to happen in our lives, right? People are going to die. Kids are going to grow up. We're going to need to retire. All those things, guess what? If we live on this earth, they're going to happen. So we got to figure out, we got to plan for those things to happen. But guess what? I can plan on one thing for sure. Every one of us, unless Jesus comes, we're going to be in heaven shortly. So we want to get all the wealth and all the riches and all the good over there, so we can receive the crowns that God wants to give us as his children when we sit at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And Timothy, you know, Paul writes this to Timothy, a young preacher, to make that real clear. So again, take us down, please, if you would. Boy, Solomon had a lot to say about money, didn't he? Money makes me secure. Check this out. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This kind of way, get this perspective. By the way, who's tired right now? Some of you guys are praying. Give me some more money. There we go. So here's the deal. It says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. So again, well, here's what we're trying to say, right? On earth, everything doesn't work like you want it to. The race is not to the swift, the battle not to the strong, the bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. By the way, young people die, rich people die, poor people die, and everyone in between dies and suffers on earth, right? That's kind of what he's saying. He says, for men also do not know his time. And I love this illustration. He says, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the son of men are snared in an evil time, and it falls suddenly upon them. By the way, anybody a fisherman? Fisherwoman? I don't know if that's the word, but we'll ask, right? All right. You know, check it out. You know, you cast in that, whether you have a lure or a worm or whatever you put in there, right? Do you think the fish, all he sees is that worm, like the way we see money? And it looks, by the way, those worms, I remember doing it with my kids sometimes, like, can you put it on the hook, Dad? You know, it's slimy, it's nasty, it's dirty, you know, leaves your hands all yucky, right? But when that fish sees that worm, man, he is in heaven. And before long, he's in your basket. You understand? That's why if all your eggs are in the money basket, it doesn't make any sense, because you're going to die, I'm going to die. And I'll throw this out. We already learned the first part. I ain't taking anything with me. And that's what he says. Money is not the place of our security. Everybody look up. I want to clarify, right? Can money make you, and good planning using your money here, can that make you a little more secure while you're here? Yes. Absolutely. And the Lord wants us to count the cost, figure that out, plan, pray, purpose what to do with that. But he's saying, don't put all your eggs in that basket. Money is not what's going to keep you secure. You know, and I'll share with you guys, think about sometimes, we can't think back, and I don't know if anybody's here who was alive at that time. In 1929, when the stock market crashed in America, people literally jumped off of buildings because their security was gone. Right? It's unbelievable. You know, and by the way, the stock market is at all-time highest levels. Real estate is at all-time highest level. We've never seen pricing. By the way, how many folks live in Willingboro? You live in this area, right? You know, my parents, they bought their house, my dad's there, $11,000. Right? $11,000. He could sell his house today for $300,000. It's unbelievable. You know, I talked to Martha, you know, she's a realtor. She said, there's not too many homes in Willingboro that are selling for less than $300,000. As is. It's unbelievable, right? But you know what? That market could change in a heartbeat. So we can't find our security in our money, but we find it in the living God who owns the money. Right? Take us down, please, Andrea, one more time, my dear. Thank you. How about this one? Money gives me identity. You know, and it can, because you can get a Brooks Brothers suit if you got a lot of money, right? But it doesn't last. By the way, there, people see through the Brooks Brothers suit and they see the same guy, same lady, right? But check it out. Gospel of Luke, he said this. He said, people were calling out from the crowd. Then one from the crowd said, "Teacher," talking to Jesus, "tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." By the way, everybody look up for a minute. I want you to understand, the money chase is not new. It's not even Western. It's not American. It has been going on since the dawn of time. And here, Jesus is talking to people in the Gospel of Luke, and it says in verse 14, he says, "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?' And he said to him, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness.'" Oh, that's a big word. What's that mean? That means that you desire something so bad, you'd almost do anything to get it, sinful or otherwise, right? That's what it means, right? And he says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the thing he possesses." And then Jesus, because people like us, like me, are hard-headed, he says, let me tell you a little story to illustrate that. And those stories are called parables, aren't they? And he says, then he spoke a parable to him, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'Huh, what should I do since I have no room to store my crops?' And he probably said, 'You know what? I got a lot of money. Guess what I'm going to do? I am going to build my barns bigger.' He said, 'I'm going to pull down my old barns and I'm going to build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, relax, right? Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said something a little bit different. He said, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" And I want to say this, you know what? We all have to deal with death. Praise God, Jesus conquered sin and he conquered death. But guess what? Unless he comes back, we're all going to heaven through the doorway of death. And you're going with nothing. You're going just like you came in and I came in, right? And the point he's trying to say is, right, your identity doesn't matter. If you were rich on earth, you're going the same way. If you're poor on earth, you're going the same way. If you're somewhere in the middle of that spectrum, you're going the same way. In fact, you know, David wrote this in the Old Testament. He said this, he says, "I go the way of all the earth." And he was a king, and he was a man after God's own heart. And he still entered the doorway of death. So our identity is really in Christ. It's not in how much we got, who we got, what kind of clothes we got. You know, it's kind of nice to have nice clothes, but they don't wear out so fast. They look good, look sharp. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not who you are. You are who you are in your heart, right? So money does not give me identity. And Andrea, take us down one more, if you would, please. So as we think about all those things, and we broke away from four real myths or lies about money, right? And you can all think of, what are some other myths about money that might cross your mind? Throw them out, yell it out real fast. What's the money myth that you're thinking about? No more. Here's one. You got to buy, don't rent. That myth has now been debunked because it costs so much to buy, you almost can't buy sometimes, right? And if you're going to move real quick, all the closing costs, you got to pay it again. Doesn't make sense. So there's a whole lot of money myths. You can think about all those. We're not going to cover all those. But I want to throw out to you guys, there's a new philosophy that we got to have for our money. And here it is. And it secures my treasure in an eternal way. And Matthew took this down. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, by the way, we're going to talk next week about managing that money while we're here, because we're here and it's the, you know, it's the item of exchange, but it's not where we put all our eggs in that basket, right? So we're going to go down to the next slide. Thanks, Andrea, please, if you would. So I got to get my thinking right about this thing called cash. I got to get it right. And can Jesus continue here? He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. So how I see things and how I think about those things is really the issue at hand. He says, therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So everybody look up real fast. Here's what he's trying to say, kind of equating that to money real quick. Here's what he's saying. Guess what? He's saying if your attitude about riches and money is it brings me happiness, it's mine, it gives me security, guess what? Everything you do in that direction is going to lead you into darkness and astray. And we got to kind of get our thinking correct here, right? So we'll go down. So getting my thinking right about money is critical. And if we talk about managing money, if we don't have that understanding that it's not mine and all those other things I just said, we're off in the wrong direction. You know, preachers can preach, give, do this, do that. That's great. But if our thinking isn't right from the beginning, we're not going to the right place. So we'll go to the next part. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you can cross out mammon in your Bible and write the word money, possessions, you know, physical, temporary things, right? So we got to understand, right, that the freedom of God and the freedom and mastery and the slavery of money. We can only really have one God. We can only have one purpose, and we can't go, well, you know, I'm in church every week, and I can do what I want with my money. Or I can chase the money Monday to Saturday, and Sunday, baby, I'm chasing God. That is going to be a very hypocritical, challenging, impossible life. So we got to get this part correct. So we're going to go down to the next one. So I want to throw this out. The scripture that we read today is a mindset that ought to drive us forward. And we're going to dig into that next time when we come. If you're not going to be here, I encourage you to watch it. By the way, it's teaching me, like I'm thinking about things too, in ways that I have not thought about these things, right? So a money mindset to complicate, by the way, contemplate. By the way, notice I put that picture up there. And who do we trust? God. We don't trust the president. We don't trust Congress. We don't trust the Treasury. We don't trust the money in our pocket. We trust the one who gives us that money, right? So, boom, we're going to go down to one last verse, and I want to share this passage with you. It's long. It's just here kind of illustratively, but we got to get our thinking right, right? And I want you guys, look at this verse, and we're going to take it apart real quick, and we're going to take it apart in depth next time. But look what it says. It says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Right? And he says, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So there's this connection with what I do and what I get. What I do, what I get, what I do, what I get matters, right? And then he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if I can manage my money really, really well, I learn how to do that based on God's standards, it's going to create me to have the ability to bless others and glorify God in ways I currently can't. And out there it's that. Suppose you're like strapped right now. You know, I don't know what else. I can't find any more money even to pay my electric bill. God has an answer. We just sang about it this morning, right? Does God control that stuff? Yeah, he does. He's got an answer for that, right? So he says this phrase, and look at verse 8 with me. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency, notice all is in there three times, in all things may have an abundance for every good work. It takes us back to, you know what? If my trust is in God, God has the ability to multiply. By the way, you know how we pray that in prayer? God bless the gift and the giver. God multiply the gift. I don't know about you. It's hard for me to really multiply the gift myself. But God has that ability to do that, right? He says God can give his grace to multiply what we have, to open up new opportunity for us to get what we need so that we can live life on this earth with our money and use it in a way that glorifies God. So I encourage you guys, write that passage down. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. Read that over a little bit. Think about that. Let the word of God just kind of come down on your life, like it says in Isaiah, like rain, and let it change our thinking. And we'll talk a little bit how practically we're going to deal with that next time. So I want to, and by the way, next time, here's what we're going to talk about. Please come back, right? We're not going to beat you up. Give, give, give. No, no, no. We're going to say, let's manage the money God's way, and God's going to make you a blessing, right? All right? But we got to reorder our steps. And we're gonna pop over down one more slide there, if you would, please, Andrea. Here's a couple questions. Everybody look up. If you're dozing for a second, it's okay, but wake up now. Right? It's kind of a little bit warm in here, honestly. Let's be honest with ourselves. Question mark, huh? Let's be honest. Okay, first number one. What myths about money do we believe? And I'll be honest. Has everyone thought if I have more money, I'd be happier? Right? It's kind of like human nature, right? Okay, what is the myths we believe? What myths does your life seem to indicate that you believe about money? In other words, that's that practical atheist thing. We say we believe this, but boy, if you see me Monday to Friday, my focus is on one thing, and it ain't God. Right? So here's the question. What myths does your life seem to indicate you believe? I'm not asking you to tell me, you can if you want, but talk to God, right? Like, we live our lives sometimes not in the way that we would like to think we live our lives. And I want to challenge us this morning. Let's confess to God our ways and ask him to change our thinking so that we can bring him glory and it will be for our good. Here's the funny thing, you know what? We always have this idea as human beings, if I do it my way, it'll be good. And it seems like it never is. But if I do it God's way, it is good, even with money. Amen? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you, dear God, for your word today. And I ask, Lord, that you would just really speak to our hearts, challenge our thinking, Lord, and change, Lord, what needs to be changed. And Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, for the clarity of your word. And I thank you, dear God, that your generosity is evidenced to us by giving us Jesus, who not only gives us eternal life and hope for the future, but he gives us power and the ability to live and change today. And I ask, dear God, that you would do that right now in our midst. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team's coming up. We're going to sing a song. But I want to throw this out. If anybody has a need, you know, the fact that if you come up and ask for prayer, it may not be that you need money or any of those kind of things, but if God's touched your heart, grab me, Pastor Ansu, one of our deacons, somebody, and get some help. Maybe it's your neighbor right there in the pew, all right? Because that's why we're here.
Thank you.
That's a great prayer, isn't it? Amen. Kind of covers all the compartments of life that we think about, right? And I just encourage all of us today, you know what? Let's just kind of do the math in our lives. How are we really thinking? What are we really doing? What's it look like Monday to Saturday, not just Sunday? When it comes to money. Man, it's a gift from God. Sometimes I just misuse it and I trust it like it's God itself. It's not. So I encourage you guys, we can overcome these problems though, can't we? Because God's given us his word. By the way, he didn't give us his word to guilt us. He gave us his word to guide us. That there are biblical principles that can change how we deal even with our money. You know, money is, I just say the word and people go, oh, you know, it's a scary thing, right? God can guide us. Pastor Anthony's going to pray. We hope you guys have a great afternoon. Enjoy the food pantry. Give our parents just a minute to get down and collect their children if they're in grades 2 to 5. And then we hope to see you guys next week, all right? Pastor Anthony's going to pray.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that is there to guide us, to teach us, and to trust in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we can come and learn from your word. And we pray, Lord, that we will trust in your word and that your word will lead us, will guide our hearts in everything that we do, even in our worship of giving, even in our lives, oh God, daily, not only on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, that you will be glorified in our homes, in our church, and even in our lives. We thank you, and we just give you the praise. Even as we're leaving, Lord, we're not leaving your presence, but we pray that your presence go with us to our respective homes. Care us safely, Lord, and be glorified in our lives through this week. Until we can come back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.